You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you like that youth football talk during the break there, Tone? You like that, babe?
Listen, huh? Thursdays are not... You just had Urban Meyer on. You're going to tell those kids it's going to be an easy practice after you had Urban Meyer on?
What did I tell you? I said, at my practice today, I will be playing a snippet of Urban Meyer about where he talks about you can't half-ass things. We are definitely playing that
You've got to show him. First of all, the first thing you got to show him is Jimmy Johnson telling the documentarian, whoever's doing the interview, like, yeah, I got rid of my wife. 27 years. I had to commit to football. So he's living alone.
Buddy, if you're divorcing your wife just because you have to go coach the Dallas Cowboys, you don't like her that much in the first place.
Well, you're looking make history, for a reason. You want to take a team that was 1-15 and turn them around? That's how you do it. You get rid of the wife. That's number one. So are you prepared to do it over the dog incident today?
No, Kenny. It wasn't my wife's fault. It was the dog's fault. Liz cleaned my feet like she was Jesus.
Like Mary Magdalene.
Like the Super Bowl commercial. Yeah. Okay, so if you're not willing to get rid of your wife, the other part of this documentary is... A dude goes down from the 1-15, or the team before that, which was terrible, the year before. This dude goes down, and he tells Jimmy Johnson they got it all on camera. It's amazing how much of their training camp was on camera. We can't do anything these days. Jimmy Johnson just let, and Jerry Jones just let cameras everywhere. And guys are mic'd up. Guy goes down in practice, and he goes, Coach, I got asthma. And he goes, nope, you're getting over there where all the asthma guys are.
No.
And then he cut him.
No.
The guy's in the truck and the reporters are showing him leave. He got cut there and then.
I got to see this documentary. I went to watch it yesterday and things came up and I couldn't do it. It reminds me of the Limpy Gimpy story. So getting ready for Central Catholic. Joe George, great running back for Perry, goes down in goal line on that Thursday, and I'm standing there on crutches, and Joe comes up a little lame, and all of a sudden Keith Wakefield looks over, and he sees us, and for whatever reason, he just goes, get these limpy dippies off my field. You're giving my players ideas. And I had to crutch off the field, and it was such a long crutching off.
It would have taken forever.
You Perry Panthers down there, as you get ready to take on Central tonight, you guys enjoy the build-out that you have from the stadium to the school. It was a mile long from the locker room then. I had to crutch the whole way, sweat my ass off. So embarrassing. And no, I didn't give a tomahawk chop there either. Moving on.
The limpy gimpy chop.
Just kind of like pawing.
The arguments that you guys are all having is going to mean nothing soon. You guys are all upset about the depth chart. I mean, I feel I got to tell you guys something. Ain't going to mean nothing. Because I have to be unrealistic but realistic. Let me tell you this. Shedeur Sanders, we had Urban Meyer on earlier this morning. This is what Urban Meyer said. The three-time national champion, this is what he had to say about one Shedeur Sanders.
I loved watching him. At Big Noon, we covered him for Deion's, I think, first three games, and he turned around a program that was a train wreck, and you don't do that without Shedeur Sanders. I saw a player that can get out of trouble, lead a team, has really all the skill set to be successful, and so I think there's a lot of substance there. you know, as a backup quarterback, they don't want all the media attention on that one player. You know, all coaches want team, 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 no distraction. If you're asking the question, can he do it? I don't think there's any doubt he can do it. You know, it all depends on what's around him. But if you're talking about a skill set, great leadership, a quality person that I really enjoyed watching, I'm a Shador Sanders fan.
Mark Schlereth, you've heard that name before. Didn't have great things to say about Jerry Jeudy in the past, but had amazing things yesterday on Afternoon Drive to say about a one Shador Sanders and a comparison he made. Stink says,
all the things you hear about Shador, like, well, he lacks supreme athletic ability and he lacks arm talent. And, you know, and all the things that scouts put their finger on that don't really matter. All the stuff that we evaluate has nothing to do with whether you can play or not. He's deadly accurate. He's got great touch. And when you watch him in that first preseason game, the thing that I loved, and I mean loved, is his ability to slide and his movement skills in the pocket and still being able to create space, not eyeballing the rush, but feeling the rush and developing and throwing it downfield. And he threw a touchdown that way. I used to say it all the time, and I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but I used to say about Tom Brady all the time, was Tom Brady's the best scrambler in football, and he never leaves the pocket. And that's what I want out of my quarterback. And those things, accuracy and his ability to slide and have feel in the pocket, pocket presence, those things are exceptional with Shador Sanders.
Man, I know all you guys are having fights and blocking each other on social media over Shador Sanders and over this damn depth chart. I'm going to tell you right now, this depth chart don't mean a damn thing. It don't mean anything. It means as less as anything has mattered to the Cleveland Browns. And print it. Record it. I gotta stand by it. I gotta stand by it by the end of the year. And if I'm wrong, I don't think I'm gonna be. If I'm wrong, I'll eat it on that one too. Because I'm telling you right now, there ain't no way a guy where people are lining up, coaches, football guys, lining up to say good things about this fella, they're just gonna let him rot fourth on the depth chart on this football team. He ain't getting cut. And he's going to play this year. I don't know when, but he's going to play. You cannot tell me going into next year that we're going to go and get ready for another season, another possible quarterback without giving this guy with this ceiling a chance. I can't say the same for Dillon Gabriel. I'm not trying to be, oh, Shador this, Shador that. Boys, I'm just telling you exactly how it is. Part of it's entertainment, part of it's business. That ain't a shot at Dillon Gabriel. Don't take it that way. I'm just telling you, and you guys know exactly how this is. You're going to see Shador Sanders on that field this year. It's going to happen. There is no way that, and I'm not even talking about ownership. I'm not talking about selling jerseys or anything like that. I could, but I won't. You're telling me a guy with that type of ceiling ain't going to play on the field this year if the Browns are bad. If Joe Flacco's good and the Browns are good, no, he won't see the field. That's true. But if the season goes the way we think it's going to go, which guys are fighting each other over six wins, what a standard we're setting this season. If it's going to go that way and be about a six-win season out of 17 games, that young man's playing for this football team, and we're going to get ourselves an eyeful. It's just a question of how much before I can go, we're moving on, that's it. Because you've asked about Shador's future, and I'm thinking, man, we have spent a lot of time fighting. And it depends on what day anybody listens. One day the Shador fans who pop in hate us. The other day they love us. The next day they'll hate us again. The other day they might be ambivalent because we're talking about the Guardians. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If we're getting ready for next year, he could end up being the backup quarterback for this football team if he's able to process the offense, if he's able to do those things and be that big of a player. Or, damn it, they might find a situation where he starts the season and we could find ourselves doing this all over again for the entire month of August next year about Cade Klubnik or Lenora Sellers or X, Y, and Z.
And those guys will be first-round picks.
And those guys are going to be first-round picks.
And whoever ends up taking them, if it's this regime or the next, I mean, that's what the organization is going to be about. So even if he ends up getting in next year or were to start the season next year, he's on borrowed time. And so that's why when I ask the questions about Shador's future, it is why I'm paying attention to the Kenny Pickett situation. Because if Kenny Pickett is still here and all of this is just biding time for Kenny Pickett to be the starting quarterback, which, again, roll your eyes if you want. There seems to be some smoke there that these guys want Kenny Pickett to be the starter. So that just delays this thought, maybe the inevitable of what Kenny says, but it just delays Shador getting out there. And then what is the time frame for Shador? If he's going to have a long career in the NFL, it involves him having to play football this year, right?
I would think. Because I don't know if he's going to be able to play on Saturday. I want to find out more this afternoon. You'll be able to hear all the press conference stuff, 92.3 The Fan, your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football. I'd like to think he's going to be able to play on Saturday, but he was limited yesterday, so we'll find out how that one goes. Kenny Pickett ain't going to play on Saturday. So you might have a Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders, maybe even Tyler Huntley situation. If it just is Flacco, Gabriel, Tyler Huntley, I'll watch Flacco and Gabriel. I'll watch Tyler Huntley because it's the Browns, but I'm obviously not going to be thinking much of it. But I can't believe, and I know that some people go, man, you guys are wasting everybody's time with this fourth guy on the depth chart, and he's a fifth-round pick. And I'm like, he's not any of those things. He's not any of those things. No. The question that you had asked about Urban Meyer, I mean, comparing him to Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was a wildly overdrafted player in the first round who also had a very, very, very strong following. And he obviously got opportunities to play that right now Shador Sanders isn't. But if the season goes the way it's going to go, there ain't no doubt about it in my mind. Come hell or high water, you're going to see him play in a meaningful football game in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns. And it's on Kevin to be able to put an offense together that's going to be able to help him out, and we're going to see what we have there. And then we might go with a full-throated endorsement of Shador Sanders, which is probably not likely. Probably not likely. I would say the chances of Shador Sanders going into 2026 as the starting quarterback to be maybe somewhere, if I'm being generous, 20% at the end of the year, and then you would go to a rookie QB to be generous. You're probably taking a QB next year. The whole thing for Shador is, can he be the backup on this football team if you were to take a rookie then? I mean, that's the most likely outcome. I'd like Shador to change that. It's going to be up to them. But, man, the more we sit here and grind our gears over to go, guys, what are we talking about? The guy's a star. I don't know what to do with Dylan Gabriel. I know he plays fine enough football. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a clean sheet like one of our guys did here. Oh, which, by the way, I accidentally called Jimmy Horn Jr. Joe Horn Jr. I'm sorry. They played in the same color scheme, one in pros, one in college. I accidentally messed it up. I'm sorry. There's parts of my brain that alcohol even can't reach. So it tended to happen that way. Good God. I beat up like crazy about that a couple of afternoons ago. Either way, there's no doubt about it that you're going to see him. It's just how much am I going to see him where I can make a proper judgment? That's the biggest question, I think, to a Browns fan right now. Browns are making calls, according to Diana Rossini. Browns are making calls about possible quarterback or possible running backs. Teams making calls in search of running back additions include the Saints, Browns, Chiefs. Audric Estime has been mentioned before, the Denver Broncos. Now, I've personally scouted on Audric Estime. And by what I mean by scouting is going to the Notre Dame Wake Forest game 2 years ago and getting all lushed up.
That was a lot of scouting.
And talking to Danny Cunningham and his fine wife, Brittany, on the concourse during halftime.
That counts.
Yeah, I was scouting like crazy. I was burning the midnight oil. Me, my buddy Brett, my friend Tim, and about a fifth of Jack Daniels. And by the they won 42-7, so we just said the PA announcer they had was amazing. He's still there. And he was being like, oh, he was way better than Mitch. Way better. Mitch can't hold this guy's jock when it comes to PA announcers.
Yeah, but
sorry.
Can that guy do movies like Mitch can?
Oh, I don't know if he can do Mitch in the movies because he was good. He was going, Audric Estime carries the ball 19 yards to the Wake Forest 39-yard line, where it'll be first and 10 Notre Dame.
Yeah, like it's real hard to say Audric Estime.
But you can't say it. You didn't say it like him.
I'm not in PA mode.
You need to get into PA mode.
You're always in PA mode.
You're always in PA mode. Listen to that voice you throw on during about last night.
And it's the death of comedy. I've never done a football PA too, so I'm not used to PA in football as opposed to baseball.
Of course, you're not multiple ranges.
If Audric Estime was a baseball player.
And the mic's getting hotter.
If Audric Estime was a baseball player, I could do it.
Oh, come on.
Strike three. Yeah, I've personally scouted Audric Estime. So I'm ready for the Browns to bring him in. I'm ready to interview him. If they get him and I interview him, should I get drunk before the interview? Owen?
I assume you do that before every interview.
No,
I
only
saw you
half.
And Carlos Hyde on the couch.
Only, I was stone sober for the Carlos Hyde interview. Thank you very much.
All right.
Some of the other ones, we'll find out. All right. I've been teasing this for a while. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. I don't want to make a big deal about it because everybody gets all mad because, well, you're still talking about this. Well, it's our first crack at it since yesterday. I thought I was going to get hammered for it. I didn't. The media brethren, because I didn't know if it came out right. In so many ways, when you treat Myles Garrett as a child, because you basically had a birthday party for the guy, like a kid's birthday party when he signed a $123 million guaranteed contract. When you treat him like a child, it doesn't mean I get to treat him like I'm his dad. He messed up. He sped. All right. He didn't want to answer the questions. Maybe I'm beaten down by the situation. I don't know. But I gave up on him being a quote-unquote leader years ago. Years ago. So I'm not overblown. I'm not mad at Jeff for the question he asked. I'm not mad at Jeff for how he asked the question or any of the other people who kept asking him questions. I am mad at the Cleveland media for that. Go right on ahead.
Well, Myles, we have not talked to you since your last speeding incident. What is it like to be in that car and seeing that speedometer creep up toward 100?
I'd honestly rather talk about football on this team than anything I'm doing off field other than the back-to-school event that I did the other day.
But still, I mean, people want to know about that.
People want to know a lot of things, but I'll try to keep my personal life personal. I'd rather focus on this team when I can. I'd rather talk about something that's more, you know, focused on this team and what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish.
I'm sorry, but this is important. So you talk about being a leader. So what kind of a leadership does that show when you get pulled over by the cops?
You asked the same question, and I've answered it two different times. So I'm going to need you to ask a different question so I can focus on this team and not, you know, this headline you're trying to get out of this question you're asking.
I did get a few, but it's a very small minority, but there were a few people going, you're enabling him. You're sticking your head in the sand. Typical Ken.
Well, I've seen some people say, why does he get preferential treatment? If I got pulled over 8 times, my license would be suspended.
This is Myles Garrett and he's great at football. Sorry. This is America. Guys, I don't make the rules. He gets preferential treatment. He gets preferential treatment because he plays for the Browns and he's a really great football player. And that's the way it goes. If he were Aiden Hutchinson, then, yeah, he would not be on the football team probably anymore. But he's Myles Garrett. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's what goes down. But I tell you this, he doesn't talk all the big boy leadership stuff that he used to try to do. And I don't expect him to be a leader. I expect him to be an elite defensive end that helps create second and short being third and long. I expect him to try to get turn the field over. I expect him to get my defense off the field. I expect him to go out there and have QB pressures and sacks and highlights and all those other things that we've come to know him for. And when he
there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Longer does that.
if we can, fine. We'll talk about getting him out of here on the first thing smoking. But I just cannot imagine myself. I can only tell you guys the truth. I cannot imagine myself if his career is over in 4 years and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I cannot say I'm going to be standing here at 48 years old ripping him for the speeding tickets that he got. I know it's dangerous. I don't condone it. But I ain't his dad, and I can't sit here and tell you that I'm going to be ripping him for speeding tickets when I'm 48 years old when he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And nobody else is going to be doing it either. You will say, you know what you will say? He was a great player. He couldn't help get the Browns over the hump. He was a great player. He got Baker Mayfield maybe jettisoned out of here. If you read some of the Mary Kay stuff from a couple years ago and read between the lines, you could blame him for that. He was a great player, but that's always going to be part of it. That's what it is. You'll judge him by on the field. We do this all. Look at the other side of this. This is a crazy comparison. Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor has been accused and has been found guilty of terrible things.
A thousand times worse than this.
Yes. What do we talk about when we talk about Lawrence Taylor? Headhunter, one of the greatest defensive players to do it. We talk about Lawrence Taylor on the field. We will talk about Myles Garrett on the field.
Lawrence Taylor was just promoting the presidential fitness program.
I'm just leaving it to where we're going to leave it. Because you know that in 10 years, that's where it's going to be. I cannot imagine a world where Myles Garrett does anything heinous or does anything beyond the pale or any of the things that other guys have been accused of in the NFL and even with the Cleveland Browns roster. I can't imagine that. As far as I know, and as far as I've seen with my own eyes, he's been good with the kids, he's been good with the fans, he's been good with all the other stuff. He is a bit mercurial, absolutely. He's a little bit offbeat from what we know, and it's been that way since he was drafted in 2017, where, well, maybe he likes dinosaurs and history and all the other crap too much, where people wondered whether or not he loved football and whether or not he was going to make it. He does not fit the classic category of seek and destroy football player. That's not an excuse for him. I wish he would have slowed down because I'm annoyed by talking about it every other year.
Funny thing is, somebody called earlier to go after Shadell and others for asking questions. And I'm like, guys, you realize if this was New York, this would be plastered all over the New York Post. And then turns out it was on the New York Post anyway. Myles Garrett refuses to speak on a 100-mile-an-hour speeding citation. Quote,
really?
Need you to ask a different question. They have a whole column, a whole article out about it. I will say, like, in this town, I mean, Miles has also used the media when he wanted to. How do I know that? Well, he issued something called a press release before the Super Bowl. They got everybody talking about Myles Garrett wanting out of Cleveland, which, what did that do? That all that did was invite a bunch of people to bag on Cleveland. So Miles also has to understand, like, if he's gonna hate the media when he thinks it's an inopportune time to ask questions about these things, also understand that he also begged the media to put out the story about him wanting out of Cleveland. And what did that also do? It made everybody rip Cleveland and rip the Browns. He didn't have to rip the Browns. He just said, I want out of here because, you know, I want a chance to win a championship. That just invited everybody else around the country to rip Cleveland. So, you know, probably wants it both ways. Only wants the media when it can help him as opposed to when it's going to hurt him.
And he ain't the first, and he certainly ain't going to be the last to probably do it that way. And so when it comes to Miles, if I'm upset about leadership, yeah, I wish he were a more vocal leader. I wish that he were to be a locker room policeman the way that he said he kind of was when it came to Perry and Winfrey, but he wasn't. And I wish he could be more that way because there are young guys who seem to contribute to other teams when they're younger and sillier and more immature and they get let go of by the Browns or traded by the Browns, and they end up contributing with other teams. Again, you were telling me Perry and Winfrey was getting first-team reps with the Dallas Cowboys this camp. Well, maybe he's a little bit more mature and has learned from his lessons. I hope so, because the last I had heard of him, he's selling shoes on the internet. So I certainly hope that things are picking up. When it came to Baker Mayfield, boy, do we know that story every single damn day of the week, where I'm still getting emails this morning over Baker Mayfield. They'll never let me forget that one. And we chose, as a franchise, Miles over Baker. And maybe Baker wouldn't be the same player he is now if he would have stayed. I don't know about the road less traveled, but I think that this organization has chosen, they've made it abundantly clear, that your first leader in forever is going to be at the quarterback position. Maybe it'll be next year's first-team quarterback. Maybe Shedeur Sanders will take over the reins and be that guy.
Okay, did you
maybe say Dylan Gabriel?
Did you say Baker?
What now?
Baker had something to say for Shador Sanders.
Oh, boy.
Since he was young, he had the spotlight on him. So people are going to be overcritical about every little thing. The cliche, control what you can control. And that's, as a quarterback, that's how do you win football games and how do you elevate the guys around you? So it's, yeah, I think he himself has all the pieces he needs to have success. And it's just about the time and place.
Sports Illustrated, Baker Mayfield. Giving some advice to Shador Sanders, current Browns, what, fourth on the depth chart?
Did he say anything for Dillon Gabriel or Kenny Pickett?
No. I think he was only talking about Shador.
So now I have NFL veteran and NFL Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth.
Mm-hmm.
I have three-time college football champion Urban Meyer.
Yep.
And I have the 38th best player in Buccaneers history, Baker Mayfield, all with glowing things for Shador Sanders.
Urban Meyer talks about him just like you said. It's why are you guys talking about the fourth team quarterback? Oh, that's why. That's why.
Now, why is everybody else talking about him too?
Baker know who Dillon Gabriel is? Not trying to be mean spirited.
Played at the same school.
Yeah, right.
Not trying to be mean spirited here. Did he say anything about Dillon Gabriel there? A lot of guys played at Oklahoma. Does he know every guy who played at Oklahoma? I don't know. I hope that Shador doesn't have the rabbit ears that Baker had here when he was here. Leave it there. See, now it sounds like I'm taking shots at Baker.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I don't want to take shots at Baker. He's winning. The winner's writing the history, and he's writing the history. He's the 38th best Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time. And hell, if they make the NFC Championship game this year, he's going to be going right up the list.
He could be up to like 35th by then.
Which then I got to sit here. I told you I had to make a list of Cleveland Browns. And say where he might be on that list. Mary Kay said he might be 38th on our list. We have 30 more years of history than they do. Mike and Stowe. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How you been?
We're doing okay. Mike, go right on ahead.
So, Anthony and Ken, you guys are both dead on this morning about this topic about Miles. Look, he does use the media when he wants to, and he plays this, but you don't get to... say all of a sudden, well, I don't want to talk about it. That's public knowledge. You're running around on a public street, 100 miles an hour. It's not about some personal thing, your religious preference or something, your relationship. Those are things that are off topics. But you're speeding around on a public highway, doing 100 miles an hour, that's not a non-topic. I'm sorry to tell you, Miles, that's open information. But, Ken, you were actually hit it too. Look, we've been asking, wanting Miles to be a different kind of leader for forever. And that ship has damn sailed because, it's clear that he is a typical where he is, where he's the type of person he is. And look, I don't think you make leaders out of people. They're born that way or they're just not that way. And I don't think you can – and there are a lot of different types of leaders. We want to be that vocal guy. I don't think he's either. He's not a silent leader because he just speeds off the field. And he's not a vocal leader because he doesn't say the right things, only talks when he wants something for himself. So – look, he's a great football player. He's absolutely going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But we got to know what he is and got to find that vocal leader because it's not our coach. I've been saying that for a long time. We really do need a loud voice on this team. Not to be a jerk, just to be a loud voice, to get some guys in line.
You're hitting it right there, Mike, and thank you very much for the call. You need impact players. You can have some linemen. You can have some guys who are buying in. You want people to buy in. But any coach will tell you, it's not their team. It's not the coach's team. It's the player's team. That's the ones who get it done. And if they can't police the locker room, if they...
there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't inspire other people, you're not going to get great results. They have to take personal ownership of the team. And I do think it's frustrated, and excuse me, I do know it's frustrated some of his teammates over his 9 years, where he dabbles in it but isn't fully there. There's leaving early, there's showing up late, there's the stuff that Jason Lloyd wrote that everybody got upset about, which is absolutely true and has been said by his teammates before. There's so many other things that have happened. And for a while, when it came to the Baker Mayfield stuff and we knew what we knew here, Anthony, I think a lot of us were like hoping that this would be, okay, it's your franchise, you better go with it. But it's been 4 years now. And so I might have been really disappointed 3 years ago. I might have been kind of disappointed 2 years ago. I'm not going to be fooled by that. No. Your next leader will be at the quarterback position, and more than likely your next leader will be playing college football this year. That's where they're going to get it.
Yeah, the only thing
maybe Carson Schwechter, maybe one of the other young guys.
I think that's when Haslam gives him that kind of money and he's been here for that long. I think the assumption was just that, all right, we're solving part of our leadership issue here. You know, that guy, everyone's going to look up to him. They're all going to want that kind of money. They all want to play like him, defensive player of the year. So by de facto, this is the situation, you would hope that that would be the leader and that you solve some of that. But instead, you know, you're going to have a bunch of these veterans that are going to be gone after this year. You know, Joe Flacco, is he one of your leaders? He's going to be gone after this year. Like, who really is going to make up that group?
So do we consider the matter done now, you and I?
Yeah.
At least until the next speeding ticket. Who would you trust more to be right, Lima or Grock?
Oh, I would trust you, Ken.
I said Lima or Grock, not me.
I would pick Ken either way. Yeah, are you getting this where if you say something on social media and it contradicts something Grock says, people are now tweeting me, well, this is what Grock says. And I'm like, well, I actually talked to somebody like within the Browns organization. Like, why would Grock know that? No, that's what Grock, you don't understand. This is what Grock said. And it's been happening more and more and more. And obviously, I don't want our jobs diminished. I don't want people turning to AI for all the answers.
No, that's going
to
happen.
Like, we want them to come to us.
Wait a minute. I don't want them to come to us for answers.
Yeah, but they're...
I offer some solutions, but usually it's not the right answer.
I realize that, but, you know, these people also got to realize, I just saw a site where Grock gets most of its info from. Said, like... The you know who was in the leader on the leaderboard for who Grock gets it said Reddit. And I'm like, wait a second, I get most of my information from Reddit.
So who's right? You or Grock?
Right? Yeah.
Do they do well with sports?
It's getting better, but I think it lags far behind news. I'm being dead honest, and I'm not talking like politics, because politics, if you're asking who's right, well, there's a stat for everything. So you can make the economy or crime good or bad based on whichever stat you're using. Okay, so politicians have been doing that forever.
Yes, they have.
What I'm talking about is, like, if you put in to Grock at any time, right, ask me a Browns question right now. I'll type it in.
Who's the 38th best Browns player of all time?
Now, see, that I think it'll be all over. Because an article
came
out.
If it says Baker Mayfield, I'm walking out of the studio.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
No, who's the greatest
Cleveland Brown?
Brown, I thought you were 38th greatest Brown of all time. Cleveland Brown. I bet Grock would listen to me. Here, what does it come up immediately? Or does it take a minute?
It's accumulating.
No, this was a complete disaster.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Based on the available data, there isn't a definitive ranking that explicitly lists the 38th best Cleveland Browns player of all time. Comprehensive rankings, such as those from sources like Browns Nation or Ranker, typically focus on the top 50 or fewer players. And even then, they don't always provide a precise order down to the 38th spot. However, using the sports card data and web sources, we can infer that players ranked around the middle of the top 50 lists are likely candidates. For instance, players like Horace Gillum, a versatile player from the Browns' early days, 1947 to 1955, appear in historical rankings due to their multi-positional contributions. Punter, kick returner, rusher, and defender. Gillum's stats include 513 total yards, 3 touchdowns, significant punting contributions, making him a notable but top-tier player.
And this is what this is why you hate Gronk. Because Gronk is you.
Freaking
and let's go. You hate yourself.
Horace. You take Baker. That's we'll what take Lyman Horace.
Would do. That's what Lyman would do. He would talk very fast. He would say a lot of words. Find an out. Find a place where he could attack me and then have me screaming and then make me look like the idiot of the argument. And then they go, oh, Ken, you lost. Why did I lose? Oh, you just got louder. No, he's the one who won't answer the question. Gronk is Lima.
We have
and again,
another
Gronk
one.
Has a lot of self-loathing, so Gronk would obviously be Lima, and Lima hates himself.
You heard it. Tommy James, a defensive back from the same era who had 34 interceptions and was a 1953 Pro Bowler, and that's when they played.
They played, is that what it says?
No, that was just
okay.
I assume they played a game back then. Didn't they play like the college kids back then too?
They did. They had a pro versus college all-star game.
Did they ever have a pro versus Joe all-star game?
Aaron in Cleveland, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, not too terrible, Aaron. What's happening?
Real quick, first time, long time. I'm really just calling to say that the leader of the Cleveland Browns is going to be Shador. He's already the most vocal one in the locker room. And in the personal interactions. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to be our leader.
Do you think he has to ascend on the depth chart for there to be total buy-in from his teammates?
No, because there's a total buy-in already. He already gets the whole entire locker room dancing and vibing with him. He's already got the locker room.
I don't want to see... Okay, Aaron, so if I say the following things, I'm going to be known as a person who just hates Dylan Gabriel, hates everybody else. I agree with you. And the reason is, and Aaron, thank you very much for the call. I go back to Colorado. You better be a hell of a leader to get those guys who are from all over the country who are taking over this program to play with you to get them going. You got to be a hell of a leader to go 4-8. Because remember, they won that first game against TCU, and it's like, oh, TCU just isn't good anymore. Colorado still has problems. You got to go 4-8. They lost Sean Lewis. I took Sean Lewis aside. This show took Sean Lewis aside. They took Sean Lewis. They got Pat Shurmur. Okay. You better be a leader. If you're going to then take 4-8 and get it to 9-4, you better be a leader. I will tell you this. I think Dylan Gabriel going to Oklahoma and Oregon, I don't mean to make comparisons, kind of baked in. Kind of baked in a little bit. Good programs. Well-to-do. Colorado, they ain't been good since what? Coach Mack? In a long time. I know they had like that 1 year with Mel Tucker. It's been a while.
Gary Barnett.
Okay, there was a year with Gary Barnett.
Big play,
Gary. Yes, right. That's true. Gary Barnett, I beg your pardon. That's still a long time ago. And they were on their ass. That was a program that was on their ass. So, yeah, roll your eyes as hard as you want. There's leadership there. There's leadership with that young man, absolutely. You better. You're going to take over that program. Thanks to everybody who joined us today. Urban Meyer was excellent. Said great things about Shador Sanders. Said interesting things about Jim Harbaugh, don't you think?
Yeah, I love that. Love the answer. It's exactly what this rivalry needs, Kenny.
Mary Kay Cabot, we thank her. Talked about whether or not answers needed to be made for Miles' speeding.
Do we need to worry about
Kenny Pickett?
Do we need to worry about Judkins if Diana Russini is reporting the Browns are looking for running backs?
Yes, we should.
What's going on there?
In the words of Magic Johnson, I don't think he's going to be here.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.